Test, test, 1, 2, 3. Is that working? Okay, guys. How many know the four laws of concentration?
Focus your eyes.
Okay, everybody. So, everybody, eyes on me. Oh. Everybody, repeat after me. Eyes on me.
Eyes on me.
Okay. So, make sure you're using that in class. You know, I do this with the kids now, so they know I don't have to say a word. I'll just go, and I'll do that, and they're like... So I'm going to hear with you guys too, okay? I'm going to have a stick, though, I think, to keep those eyes on me and ears. So, guys, you know, as I was saying, to take advantage of your marketing, to get the most out of it, it's all about... proficiency, how proficient or how efficient you're working. So by keeping your stats, you'll be able to figure out which of these areas I'm going to need more work in as you move to get your gross up. One of the things that you have to instill in your staff is very difficult to do, and that's to develop the passion for the martial arts. Most of you have that passion. You've got to be able to show it. You've got to be able to, you know, does anybody know how to, or does everybody know how to be enthusiastic? You know, when you're enthusiastic, you sound all excited. You've got to get that across in your class. If you act enthusiastic enough, you'll become enthusiastic. So it's not something that you have to be born with. I've taken some of our shy staff instructors, teenagers, that won't even look you in the eye when they come in, and then they're out projecting and using, mannerisms and talking, you know, right down the line to adults and not bat an eye and really project. And that's why we teach that projection. We teach them how to use that voice to project. And we make them teach when they're doing it in our staff training. And that's why you hear us in the back, you know, I'm constantly doing that. Because you have to learn how to project. Now, sometimes, like Toby has, he lost his voice a little bit. And some of y'all might, you know, the weather up here does mess with you. I've got a little bit of hoarse sound to me now because of the drainage in my allergies or whatever pick up here. I think it's Steve's cats. I'm not real. Me and cats don't do well together. Dogs, yeah. Cats. That's, you know, if I gotta have my pet has to come when I call it. You know. Otherwise, it's just hanging around. So, when you're teaching, be enthusiastic. Be passionate about what you're doing. Learn to be passionate about getting new students to share your knowledge with. When they come in, you've only got them for a couple classes, sometimes maybe just one, if it's not good enough. When we talk about doing these kind of things, we talk about getting the gross up, it's so critical. All the little things that take place, any one of them, you screw up, they're out of there. So that's why you have to have the stats. I'm not going to be there to tell you screwed up. You might not have anybody there to tell you screwed up because you're the one in charge. Your stats will tell you. When I'm evaluating how good an instructor is, I don't ask them. Because in here, where's my good instructors? Raise your hand. My great instructor, good and great, fantastic instructors, where are they? Where's my average instructors? And where's the bad ones?
Because I don't instruct.
So usually most of my instructors all think they're doing a good job. I mean, in their mind, they are, and probably think they're doing their best. The only way to tell how good they're doing is to run their stats. What kind of retention do they have? How many of the students in their classes are testing? How often does everybody test? 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? What's how many test every 2 months? How many test every 3 months? How many test every 4 months? How many test more than 4 months? Good. Four, I think, is too long. But I know because I've been there. We used to do four. Our retention improved when we did two. But we were stupid. We went from four to three. And then went three to two. And every time we dropped down, it got better. And the reason is, it's much easier to keep somebody focused in a shorter period of time than it is over a longer period of time.
Question? Test every 2 months or every month?
Say it again?
Every two.
Now, within those 2 months, we're doing strike checks. So they have three strike checks, and then the fourth one is their final exam. So every 2 weeks, if you're not evaluating them, if they're not getting something on their belt that says, you're okay to go up to here, 2 weeks later, almost there, you need to work on one thing, boom. You don't wait till the end of the 2 months, and then you find out, oh, they're not ready. Now what are you going to do? You're going to struggle to try to get them ready. Well, people who don't care about those kind of things, because they're not passionate about their martial arts, they're just going to pass everybody anyway. But when you're really trying to take a personal interest in them, they feel that. They'll feel your enthusiasm. They'll feel your passion, and they will renew. Not everybody. We don't expect 100%, because 100% don't have the vision. You have to give them the vision. You have to teach them to set goals and stick with those goals. Don't be a hypocrite. Set your own goals. What is your goal? How many in here have their monthly goal that they're shooting for their gross? Now, that of course has to take place on an annual, but it breaks down into a monthly, which breaks down into a weekly, which breaks down into a daily. You don't wait till the end of the month and say, I didn't make my goal. What we do, quick tip, this is our goal for the month. First thing you got to know for the goal for the month, how much you have to do daily. So how do we figure our daily goal? Divide by number of business days. I had some people divide by 31 or 30 or 20 or whatever it is. No. How many working days? Because that's what you're not working. You ain't making nothing. So working days. There could be a holiday in there. You're not closed. Good. It's a working day. It's a holiday. You're closed. It's not a working day. So it's very critical that you come up with that daily number. Then if this is our monthly number, then we keep subtracting our daily, and then we take that remaining balance and divide it by the remaining number of working days. Because now we have a new daily goal. Sometimes it goes down a little bit, sometimes it goes up a little bit. Sometimes we get down to the end of the month, we got to do 10 grand the last day. And we do it. So when you have goals, everybody doesn't, you know, I hear some schools, well, it doesn't matter if I don't get them this week, I'll get them next week, you know, the first of next month. No, everything goes into this month. Towards the end of the month, everybody has to have deadlines. When you're talking upgrades, you don't just give them an open end to make a decision. You have to give them a deadline. That's the good thing about testing. That one of the best times to upgrade them is when they're the most enthusiastic. When are they most enthusiastic? When they're testing. Sometimes they do a tournament. Sometimes you've done a demonstration or something that they've done really well. You got to catch them in those exciting moments. Remember, your students are constantly peaks and valleys. Okay? We want to catch them at a peak whenever we're trying to upgrade. Not at a valley, when they're not going to make the right buying decision. So that's going to give us an opportunity to maximize all of our marketing. Remember, we have to wear a different hat. As a school owner, you've got a lot of different hats. So we've got to make sure it all takes place, including cleaning the school. When these people come in, if that school is not spotless, don't have junk cluttered around. Everything goes in somewhere. Nothing's out. That way, you look over there in that corner, there's nothing in that corner. You look in that corner, there's a table, there's going to be junk on it. So make sure your school is spotless. You make a good impression. How many opportunities do you have to make a good first impression? When these guys come in, they have one. You have one shot at them. And if you don't screw it up, you'll have a second shot. And if you don't screw that one up, you might have an enrollment. You see how critical it all has to take place. I can't tell you how good you are. I can't tell you how bad you are. I'm a pretty good judge of good instructors and bad instructors, and I can usually get a feel just from being around somebody. But if I want to know for sure, all I have to do is walk in the front door while they're teaching. And I can tell you within 2 minutes how good of an instructor they are. I can probably tell you their retention rate within 10 points. Because show me an instructor who's teaching an enthusiastic class, who's got the class with a lot of noise going on in there, a lot of yelling. You go into a quiet school, boring. You go in there and the instructor's just talking. Students aren't doing anything. Boring. So, keep that in mind. Utilize all of this extra work. Because to me, you know what the hardest work is running a credit school? Say it again.
Keep it on there.
Nope. The hardest part is right here. This is why most schools go out of business or don't have good growth. Because most of you are so good at teaching and passionate enough about it that you can screw up all over the place and still make a good living doing it. Because you have a genuine interest in what you're doing. People feel that. So when they come in, they don't think you're just in it for the money and you're just trying to get their money and you don't care about their personal development. So if you're sincere, this is where we got to focus on getting them into school. And then if we keep our stats, we can fine tune the other areas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we talked about, we got through a few of them, but let's talk about them in general. Most of these, as I told you, have all hit a home run. They've all brought in quite a few new opportunities. And when I say new opportunities, we're talking about leads, info calls, appointments. What is the purpose of getting an appointment or a lead or an info call? The purpose when they come in for that first intro. We, you know, our job is not to sell it whenever we're out meeting people face-to-face on a spin wheel or, you know, one of the fairs or the movie theater. All we want to do is get an appointment. We got to get the appointment. We got to get them in the school. Why do we want them in the school?
So we can show them what we do.
We got to get them. We got to impress them. We got to show them that what we have here is what they're looking for. A lot of times, I have parents come in who didn't even know this is what they were looking for. Till they came in. Then they knew. I didn't know karate was all this. I thought it was kind of kicking and punching, some self-defense, and, you know, I heard it would develop confidence in my kid, but I didn't know it was a personal development program. You know, when a parent says to you, and you've heard this, karate develops confidence. Right? How? What are you going to say to him? I heard that karate develops confidence. How? I mean, they ask you, how does it do that?
Positive reinforcement.
Through trial, you have to overcome obstacles to build confidence.
Anybody else jump in?
Achieving short-term goals
and long-term goals. And having confidence that you can stand up to somebody.
It can teach them how to believe in themselves. And, if you have an instructor, it teaches you how to believe. Gets the students to believe that they can be a top dog.
You see how hard it is for everybody to explain something very simple? You know, would you describe confidence as self-esteem? Good self-esteem? If a child has good self-esteem, he's got good confidence. Here's how you want to explain it. Self-esteem. If we're going to build self-esteem, we have to build it at home. We have to build it at school, our martial arts school. And they have to build it among their peers. So in other words, they have to be recognized for doing something good and a good pat on the back. And if they only get that at home and they don't get it anywhere else, they don't develop self-esteem. If as soon as their parents tell them how great they're doing and then they go to school and the kids pick on them, all of a sudden their confidence is way down. If their teachers are not building them up, tell them how bad they're doing, they're not doing homework stuff, now it's better. So martial arts develop self-esteem because we teach them discipline. You've got to teach discipline. Where's my Annapolis? Would you say Annapolis teaches discipline?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course.
You go to any military institution, they're going to teach discipline. And you better believe you better be doing discipline there. You're disciplined or you're out of there. Well, martial arts does it through a positive reinforcement. And some of you use some of that terminology. So we have, and I'm going to give you this one thing, and then we're going to go on to all these. But this is so critical. When they come in, you've got to get this across in the first lesson. Because that's what's going to get them back to the second lesson. Because I don't care how many people you get in for the first lesson, if they don't come back for the second, you're not getting them signed up. Is that of course, right? So, if you can get this one point across to them. I started this thing called a self-discipline sheet 30 years ago. And a self-discipline sheet means that the kid does something around the house to help their parents or at school, and the teacher or the parent writes it down. And he gets credit on his sheet. After 10 of those, he gets a stripe on his belt. Another 10, another stripe. Another 10, another stripe. So 30 fills up a sheet. At his next belt graduation, he gets a medal and a certificate that says he's one of our most disciplined students. Now, we call that sheet self-discipline. If parents know that we can teach their kids discipline, that is every parent's dream. To have their child disciplined. What is the problem with most parents trying to teach discipline? Every time they try to get the kids to do something, what do the kids say?
No.
They say, not now, I was going outside. It's Johnny's turn to do it, I did it last time. Or I was playing video, I'll do it after. They come up with a lot of excuses. Parents get in an argument. What happens with most parents? They give up, they quit asking, now kids don't do anything. So when parents come in, and here's what we shoot for between the first and the second lesson. When they come back for the second lesson, they're going to turn in a self-discipline sheet. And there's only two or three things. It's a small sheet. And it just lets us know that they know what self-discipline is. And we define it as this. Self-discipline means that you're doing something, and this is how we tell the kids and the teens, you're going to do something around the house to help your mom or dad without them even asking you. And then we ask the kids, what can you do to help mom or dad? and half of them go, they don't know. So how are we going to get them to do that sheet? Well, so we've got to educate them a little bit. So we give them a quick tip. Well, what about it? What about in your room? Anything you can do in there? Oh, make my bed. Oh, awesome. And then we give them a nice high five. See how we're interacting? Turn to mom. Would that be okay with you? You know, they're like, oh, yeah. How about at dinner time? Anything you can do to help? Half of them will go, oh, yeah, I'll help cook dinner. No, well, how about set the table for mom for dinner? How about cleaning the table after dinner? How about the dishes? How about the trash? Feed the pet? Oh, there's a lot of ideas. We have a bulletin board right there in the intro room. It has about 30 or 40 of those sheets. These are the ones that the kids brought in the last 6 to 8 weeks to earn a white belt. Every one of those sheets represents their white belt. How many in here give them their white belt with their uniform? Thank God. We changed that 40 years ago because the belt used to come in the uniform. So whenever they got the uniform, they got the belt. How do you get your white belt? You buy your uniform or you get it with the enrollment. We changed it to they have to earn their white belt. Because if you give them the first belt, what are they then going to think about the second belt? Oh, I guess I'm going to give me that one too. See, so we start right away. Remember, all of your belts you earn. We will award you your belt when you earn it. So we're going to teach you how to earn your belts. To earn your first belt, and then we tell them what they need to do. You have a question over there?
Yeah, I know a few of us have adult-only programs.
Right.
How would this translate to?
Perfect. Guess what? How many of y'all... Now, I know we have some, you know, that a lot of people think that adults don't like to say, like, a school pledge or at the beginning of the classes. That's because you haven't emphasized it. Because it wasn't important to you, guess what? It's not important to them. What's important to you is important to them. We have a school pledge that re-emphasizes our philosophy and our purpose for training. Don't you think that should be instilled in every martial artist, regardless of style, race, creed, color? Everybody should have that philosophy. And as Grandmaster Jun Ri says, martial art without philosophy is just street fighting. Now, if you're doing street fighting, then you don't need it. If you're going to teach them an art, you need a philosophy. So make your philosophy, your school pledge, your creed, whatever you want to call it, fit to your school. A lot of them adopted similar ones. So, to earn that belt, guess what our adults have to do? The same thing the kids do. One, they memorize their school pledge. Two, they learn the rules of the gym, the school, the dojo. And three, they do their self-discipline. Now, adults really like this. Because they go, well, what do I do? No problem. Haven't you been doing things at home anyway? Yes. Well, now you get credit for it. So when you do something around the house to help the wife, make sure she writes it down there for you. Oh, they get a kick out of that. And the wives get a kick out. Yes.
I'd just like to say something to reinforce that. Every time I've introduced something to my kids, later I've come back and done it with the adults, and I've found that the adults are just big kids.
They are.
And they love it just like the kids.
You have to realize martial arts is a little bit, you got to have a little of that mystique in there. You know, people like that. They want, you know, they want that ninja kind of flavor to it. You know, the martial arts of the Orient, you know, that flavor to it. So that's what you need. So now they do those three things. Well, guess what happens when they come back for the second lesson? Now, because they can earn their white belt the next class, what does that automatically... Now we have at our school, and I'm not going to say everybody has 100%, we have about 80% show between first to second. First intro is a semi-private, because we'll have three or four families, because we have enough intros, sometimes we have to, you know, have even more. The second is in a regular class, because it's hard to sign them up, and you can, but if you sign them up in just that first one, and then that second class isn't what they got in the first class, then all of a sudden, they're getting buyer remorse. So we want to make sure that our program, when they get in a real class, that we can really deliver. And we should be able to do that. And we should be able to close them on that second class. Because number one, Craig said it already, when was that enthusiastic time? When's the time we want to renew them? When they're testing. Well, guess what they just did after their first class when they come back for the second? What'd they do? So what are they going to do? I tell you what. Here's how. You want to know? I can tell you who's going to sign up without a conference. Because you know what I tell them when they come back for the second class? Now, when you come back for the second class, if you have your school pledge down, your student creed, and you know your rules, come a little bit early. 5 or 10 minutes. You can say your creed for one of our instructors, and they'll get you your belt, and we'll award it to you in the class. So guess what happens? My intros. We have, how many in here have a person at the door that is their meeter and greeter? We have a meeter and a greeter. Now, we don't call them the meeter and the greeter, but what they have to do when those intros are coming in, whether it's first or second or third or any intro, we know when they're going to be there. They're by the door, so when they come in, we don't want anybody coming in getting confused. Where to go, what to do. So the first thing they come in, they're going to first, what's the first thing they're going to say to them?
Hi, Jim.
Say that again.
Hi, Jim.
Stand up loud. Turn. Project.
Hi, Jim. My name is Oliver.
Notice he said, Jim. How many of y'all gone into a restaurant and they used your name? Mr. Johnson, good to see you today. Let me get you a table. How many today? And now you're with maybe a business associate or friend. Male or female, wife, husband, whoever. But how impressed, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel like you came to the right place. When you come in and they ignore you, how many of you have gone to that restaurant where there's nobody at that maitre d' stand? You walk up there and then you see them over there chatting and then they're walking around all over the place. Hi, Master Oliver. Make a difference? We're almost done. So, you've got to make sure that you use that personalized attention. Then, every one of these that you get in, your percentages are going to go up. Less marketing. You're either going to get 100 to come in to do intros and close 20, or you're going to get 40 to come in and close 20, or you'll get 30 to come in and do 20, or you'll have 20 that does 20. The bottom line is whatever your goal is, 20, 30, 15, whatever your goal is for enrollments, you've got to do whatever it takes to get there. We talked about, everybody knows flyers and door hangers, right? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to use my staff to go deliver all those. Now, I will take my leadership team and we'll go to a shopping center and they'll get a leadership credit and I'll take 3 or 4 of them and we'll put flyers on cars in a shopping center. But door to door, house to house, we'll use the service. And you can get those in your areas. Just Google it. and there's people that would deliver your flyers or door hangers dirt cheap. So do those movie theaters, fairs. And who was our big winner on the fair? Who was doing the fairs that had a home run on that? Yeah, and y'all could probably survive just off those fairs. You know, our school in Fresno is like that. They're big on the fairs. And it's amazing the number. They're getting 200 leads a month just from doing fairs on the weekend. Now, how they came up with all those fairs? This is where you have to have somebody that knows marketing. They go in and they start researching these events. It could be a school function. It could be a back to school. It could be different types of functions like that. It could be, some of the stuff they go to boggles the mind that they would even think to set up a martial arts. What's some of the fairs you've done?
Some strange one you want to think about are 5K runs.
A 5K run? Who would think about doing a 5K run?
But they have other sporting things going on, and the families are there, and that was one that I hadn't thought of that we did.
Exactly. And you know where you should do those things? Anywhere people are gathered. You know the little story I was telling you about the movie theater where we did 120 enrollments? Well, that first weekend before the Karate Kid opened, we did 150 appointments that first weekend. Yes, in the back?
Yes, sir. I would want to know what we're doing at the fairs. Specifics if I can.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Where are we at? Go ahead and stand up, Fred. Yeah. That way they can hear you.
Well, we're setting up the table. Everything we have is logos. Our clock phone there is a logo on the front. We have three employees there. One's an instructor. Okay. They walk to the side of the table playing the game. And this way here, the parents come. They see the kids interacting with the instructors. That's really important to us. That's one of our instructors. And a good instructor. That's really the kids. And what we do is we hold one of those little square sentry targets. Again, it has a logo on it. The kids punch it. There's a couple cones set up. If they punch it past this cone, they get one spin on a prize wheel. This one two, this one three. The prize wheel, they weigh about 2, 3, or 5 free classes. That's all down there. So they spin it three times. They don't have 15 classes. They just win the biggest thing. The kids want to spin the wheel, but they're not allowed to spin the wheel unless they play a game. Because we want to have the instructors work with them. Right? The person holding the wheel and standing behind the table, those are the things. Your table has to be clean. You know, no purses, sodas, sandwiches, and all that can go underneath the vine. And also, we have the honor to be on top of it, too. The person holding the wheel, just to make sure there's no flying off the table and keep things organized, can be anybody. Okay, that one's anybody. But then the next person that's standing in line is a program director type. So their job is they have a clipboard, and we usually write down the names and phone numbers of others ourselves we can ask for, rather than have them, unless we're really overpacked, and we have a whole bunch of mini clipboards that we hand to people and let them do it. But we turn the paper over, and right on the spot, we make their appointment for the first class. So we'll make an appointment.
They give them a appointment card right there, which one
we
take.
Yeah, we do group intros, not one-on-one intros, so we only have two times a week in each location, so we'll do intro classes from 1 to 30 people.
I've been studying your regular. I'm trying to get every ounce of you. Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically it. No, she put the thing together. It just works great. You just have to make it look good so everybody, not just your table and yes. Cardboard table. I mean, spend a couple bucks to make the table look nice.
Get it decorated. Decorated.
Thank you.
Use some of your pictures. Don't be afraid to have a TV there with some of your school stuff playing on it.
Anybody who has the same question, by the way, for members, just go to the member site and type in the word 250 intros. In the search function, we did 2 90-minute conferences on just this strategy. So you got 3 hours of explaining every granular detail on how to convert these things. So
did everybody catch that? What Toby just said. Where do they go again, Toby?
Just go to the search function, okay. The member site, and type in 250 intro.
Because that is the key. How did they do that at the fair? How did they set it all up? And guess what? The fair is no different than the movie theater. And it's no different from any other gathering of people. The spin wheel, doing a little something to get them to do the spin wheel, is the key. And your people looking sharp, greeting them, good personality. And so movie theaters and fairs, school programs. How many of y'all done gym teacher for a day or an after school class? And I don't mean the pick them up and take them back to school on that one. This is just, all of those are good. How many have done gym teacher for a day? Good. Anybody who doesn't know what that is? Okay. Those, again, how do we capitalize? When we do any kind of marketing, what's the main purpose of doing that marketing?
Find students.
I know you guys know all the answers, so I'm going to make y'all not
answers. Schedule an appointment.
We want to schedule an appointment, right? What do we want to do? We want to get them in the school. The key to anything you do, if you don't get them in the school, then you're losing out. So at these school things, how do you get them in the school? You got to get some contact information. Well, guess what? That's not easy to do because parents aren't there.
You got to give them a reason to come to the school during the lesson.
Perfect. Come by the school
and get an award.
Get a special get a uniform if you come by the school. So we have different incentives to get them to come into the school. We also have ways of getting their contact information, permission slips, and things like that. Because our gym teacher for the day jump starts the after school. And we'll do like a 4-week or a 2-week, 4-lesson after school program. What is that?
It's an intro.
An intro. It's just an intro. So we're not doing a lot of kicking and punching, a lot of crazy stuff, but getting them focused and disciplined, a few basics, very few. But in that class, the whole purpose of that class is to, and you said it, get them in the school. Get them in the school. Make it a reason, like you said, to come in. How many use business cards? You know? Business cards, isn't that the oldest thing in the around? How is that going to be productive? If you have a business card and on the back of it, it has a free offer. 1 week, 2 week, whatever you want to do. With uniform, no uniform, whatever you want to do. But some free offer on the back. Guess who gets those business cards?
Everybody.
Well, what we do, black belts all have their own business card. How many of you have given your black belts a business card? What do you think they're going to do with those business cards? I don't care whether they're 10 years old or they're 40 years old. It's going to have their name, black belt. I don't necessarily put first degree, because first degree, they're proud of it anyway. But we just say black belt. And have our school information on the back, free offer. So how many of those you think they can give out? How many do you make for each one of them? 500. 500. You know how much 500 business cards cost? Next to nothing. You buy 250, it costs you like 10 bucks more, and you get 500. So don't nickel and dime yourself. Remember, each one of those cards is worth how much? How much? Could be 30,000 if you're priced right. But a minimum of probably 2,500 to 3,000 just on a basic program if you're priced right. So keep those in mind. All black belts. But guess what? You don't have 50 or 60 black belts, then who do you need to give them to?
Nature. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm terribly boring. You say it.
I'm not going to let my people sit up here anymore.
Leadership.
That's it.
Good job. Any of your people that are in black belt training, what is their card going to say? Say it again. Well, black belt training sounds, I don't know if I want a card with that. Guess what? So who said it?
Future black belt.
That was pretty good. What was that one?
Future black belt.
Black belt leader.
Black belt in training.
Black belt in training is not bad. You can also say black belt trainee. It means they're training to be a black belt. Black belt trainee. Oh, you're a trainee? Oh, yeah, I'm training to be a black belt. You can put instructor trainee. So whatever, you know, be a little original. Come up with what you're comfortable with, you think your students are going to like. How many use birthday parties and pizza parties? Now, I heard some people talking about some of those things quickly, easily. Make them earn those. Obviously, they earn it by having a birthday. But what we do at the birthday parties, don't forget when you book these... How many of you know when their birthday is? You know every one of them. You have their information, right? So you need to print your list out and about 3 months in advance, because parents plan these things out ahead of time, you talk to the parent and book a party for them. But guess what we do for the parent?
Send out invitations.
Thank you.
Cards.
If you send out the invitations, what do we have to send out the invitations?
Addresses.
Contact information. What do we do to those students? Because what are we going to do at the birthday party? What are we going to do at the birthday party?
Sign permission slips and get more information.
At the birthday party, we're going to teach them karate. We're going to have a little first intro, a little short first intro in there in the birthday party. So what we do when we tell the parents, you know, we'll actually call the parent and tell them that Johnny's been invited to a birthday party from one of our karate students. We are going to be teaching a karate class. And what a lot of the kids like to do, we have a two-week offer that they can come in ahead of time and take a two-week program free. And that way, when they're doing the karate class, they'll be able to keep up and follow a lot easier. Much easier to market them in there. Now, how many of those do we get? 20 at a birthday party, 10 will come in ahead of time. And then what do we do with those after the birthday party? The ones that didn't come in before?
Schedule follow-up.
We have the coupon that we give them in their gift bag. We make sure that those get the gift bag. What about the ones that have already been in for 2 weeks? Hopefully, we've signed them up. If not, we should have, or soon. Guess what we put in their gift bag? Do y'all do goodie bags for your birthday parties? Please, don't be too cheap. Do a little goodie bag. In that goodie bag, what do we have? 2 weeks free. So now, and they go, well, I already did 2 weeks free. And they're not going to do it? Pass it on to a friend. Follow me? Make sense? Pizza party is the same way. Pizza party is another way when you're not having enough birthdays. How often should you be doing these pizza and birthday parties? Every weekend. You need to have 2 to 3 of them scheduled every weekend. They'll get you a lot of intros. Buddy Day. Everybody using Buddy Day? What's the way to capitalize on Buddy Day again? Same thing you do on the pizza party. Get their list of the buddy. Tell the parent that they've been invited. Okay, I gotta get hugs. I gotta get hugs. Not from you.
I wasn't even considering it. Oh.
We're only on number seven.
This is Master Oliver's the ones that boss him around right here.
Exactly. You're on. So.
Guest passes. Now, what's the difference between guest passes?
I'm glad we were 2 hours ahead of ourselves to begin with.
That's why I didn't want you to use all these up. Guest passes.
You weren't supposed to make us 3 hours late by the time you're done, though.
We're whittling.
He was supposed to be down to list before lunch.
I know you said you're coming in here to cut him off. I like how he's a third of the way or 25%.
Yeah, I'm about halfway. Almost halfway. It's well, almost at 10.
8 divided no, 10. By 24 no,
it's 20. Those were bonus. bonus session, like your Saturday's bonus session.
Yeah. I think it was going to be a couple of the midnight bonus session.
Guest passes, you know, remember everybody that you said you gave a business card to with the, okay, 10 minutes. Everybody that you gave the you know, they have their business card. Well, everybody who doesn't get a business card, guess what they get? They get a guest pass. And you know what it has on the back of it? It has our school information on the front. On the back it says guest pass. And then it says guest of. We want to know who that is. Because when they invite a guest comes in with a two-week free pass, we want to know who it is because we're going to give that person a little prize. A pair of foam chucks, a t-shirt, something just for appreciation. Now, don't have to tell them they're going to get that because it's better even unannounced. Internet marketing, Toby is the master of that. texting, you got all that, the website, how to capture the information, social media, you know, and a lot of the social media is, like Toby said, it's like all over the place. So a little harder to capture information off of that, but some people are pretty good at it. Magazines, newspapers, etc., you know, any of your print media stuff, you know, if you have little local papers, school papers, anything like that that you can focus in on. Direct mail, Valpak, and you know what captures on that one, and Toby's got some great direct mail stuff too. So if you need help on that, printed cards, they mail them for you, they stamp them, you don't have to mess with it. What you need to do is get a list of who to mail it to. Or he can do that for you too. They'll run the demographics in your area. They'll pull up where you are. You tell them what kind of radius you want, 3 mile, 5 mile. They'll pull it up based on those demographics that you want. They can have a list for you, mail them direct to you. You don't have to mess with it. Again, remember we said labor intensive versus cost. So do you want to spend more money or do you want to try to go out and beat the bushes yourself? Does that make sense? Family add-ons. How many are getting parents involved? One of the things Master Oliver did that I didn't agree with in the beginning, but I'm all for it now. He only charges for two people. Everybody in the family's free after that. Because the prices he charges, if you can get two in, we get three or four or even five, that just means that's going to be an easy upgrade. Our upgrade, almost $60,000. So, we have five in that, fine.
You upgrade two or five?
You upgrade two, but guess what? The others are free. So don't they get upgrade two? So, two for five. So that's an easier upgrade when you divide it out. Now, is that how we sell it? It's $60,000?
No.
No. It's this much down, it's this much a month. And that way, you know, you got to sell it, right? You're not just throwing a number at them. And as there's a whole process of getting that, remember? And again, that's not marketing, but that's our other area of renewal upgrades. But don't forget those family add-ons. If there's only one, get two. If there's two, why do we want to encourage three and four free?
Friends.
Not friends. It's not a friend, three and four. It's a family.
Right.
If I have two, why would I encourage the parents to do it? Retention. The family that trains together stays in the program longer.
Wait.
What?
Say it.
A family that kicks together sticks together.
There you go. Graduations. How many utilize your graduations to promote your intro traffic and your upgrade traffic? Anybody need help on that? Okay. At the graduation, we make our graduation ceremonies. Everybody that's there is passed. So we don't have any crybabies going on, right? That's already taken place somewhere else. We have the graduates performing. They're bringing their friends to watch. If they bring a friend to watch, they get an extra stripe on their belt. Why would our kids care about stripes? Don't answer.
No.
Say it again.
I can't get promoted without.
They have to have a certain amount to graduate. But you know what we do at our school? You know how many it only takes to graduate? They need their progress checks, four of them, and then they need five of their character stripes. These other stripes, these five to graduate. They only need five. You know how many our kids have?
20, 30. They're trying to earn a prize, a party.
125 is our record. Last month, a kid had 125 stripes. How do we get that many stripes on a belt? You don't. We already figured it out. So we had to come up with another stripe that counts as 10 stripes. So we now have enough space to get them all on there. Because we never thought we'd get that one. But guess what that kid that gets the most stripes gets? A trophy. And we show them that trophy. And you can win that trophy if you have the most stripes. Except the trophy is this tall. And they see the trophy that tall. How many of you would like to have a trophy that tall? I know when I was competing, give the little small trophies. We go to the trophies, have the big trophies. Everybody, right here? Everybody's excited to give them big trophies carried back home. So they have a chance to win that trophy. You know what else they get besides the trophy? A belt. A special belt. It's red, white, and blue. And it has their name. We write their name on it. And they wear it for 1 month. Till the next graduation. So 2 months. They're the student of the month. They get to wear it. They turn it at the next graduation. They turn it in. They pass the belt to the next one. So they get recognized twice. When we pass the belt, he already has his name on it. The new kid who gets it signs his name on it. So it has the history of everybody who signed it. When that belt gets full, because you got the inside, the outside all around, you hang it. And then you start another new boot. Make sense? Think you can get some kids? Because when we first started the stripe stuff, we just said we were going to give an award for the person who had the most. Well, first time they came up with 40, so we gave them a little trophy. Next time somebody came up with 60, so we got a bigger one. And then later it was like an 80. And then finally somebody hit 100. So we said, that's a lot of stuff that they're doing to get those stripes. So don't forget how important graduations are. Old leads, you got to call them, you got to text them, you got to email, you got to direct mail them. Anybody have any questions on that? How important that is? So, like Toby said, you keep dripping on them. All those old, anybody that you get collect contact information, you got to keep following up on. We don't give up on them.
Mrs. Smith, would you put former students in that category too?
Absolutely. We missed you back in there. You'd be worded differently. Demos. You know, demos we haven't done for a long time. And then somebody asked me about doing a demo for their group. And this was about 3 months ago for a scout group. They were having their awards banquet. And I said, great. We did it. And all we did was pass out. We did a demonstration and passed out guest passes. We had 5 enrollments off of that. Because if you make a big impression and they're impressed with what they see, and of course, I had kids their age doing some fantastic stuff, and then they have an opportunity to do it free for 2 weeks, you'll get some people biting on it. You follow me? School auctions and fundraisers. And I think somebody was talking about e-card kind of thing. That follows along those lines too. And believe me, there's a lot more of those than you think. And what we do on those is we actually do a 6-month program or a 3-month program or, you know, something of a little more value for them. And we'll get 4 or 5 of them because we'll convert them into a leadership program. But we do that as part of our community service. We get advertisements in there. Now, we also throw in some 1-month specials. So they might have 6 1-month specials, and then we have 3 or 4 of the 3 or 4 month specials. What do we have next?
Seasonal
marketing. Good job. Because you read my writing, you've been around me long enough. Your seasonal marketing. Is everybody capitalized on all of that? We got all the seasons in there. You know, there's almost something every month. It's kind of some kind of something going on. Some crazy ones in there, but there's quite a few. You can actually Google it. And all it is seasonal marketing. And you'll come up with a lot of stuff for different months. Every month, there's like a list of stuff that you can do. And but basically, you know, you got your Halloween stuff, you got your Thanksgiving, your Christmas, you got New Year stuff. But back to school stuff, so you got 4th of July stuff. So, you know, capitalize on the marketing of those events so you can take advantage of that. PTA, PTO. PTO, PTA. Everybody know the difference? Believe me, know the difference before you go in there. They are highly pissed off. That's like confusing NATMA with Maya. You don't mix those up. And the main difference is the PTA is a national organization that is, you're part of a big nationwide, and you're governed by their rules. They're a lot more restricted. The PTOs, they started in local areas to have their own local thing and set their own rules and bylaws. There's a lot more flexibility with the PTO dealing with them than the PTA. But the key there is what? Well, what's the key with getting in either one of them? There you go. You all have parents that go, kids that go to these schools. Find out which parents involved. Get them on your side. You don't go to that meeting. You bring the parent to the meeting. You go with the parent. She sells it. You explain it. That way, you have somebody with the in. You go there and nobody knows you, much harder to get in. Does that make sense? Rotary Club, Lions Club, Kiwanis, JC's, Optimist Club. Everybody know what those clubs are? Those are the top five in that order. The biggest. But not every area has all five. Most of them have one or two of them. If they have two, join them both. Everybody know what they do? What this is?
The teachers get together.
It's not teachers.
Principals, administrative.
Not, well, getting close. Say it again.
Community leaders.
Community business people. These are business owners that are in these clubs. And you know why they get together? Network. They network. You get in there. You get in that and be active in that. You join that. Now guess what? Nobody else has a karate thing in there? Guess what they all want? All these different places.
What's
some kind of fundraiser? What is it?
It says JC's and then Rotary.
Optimist,
okay.
But if you Google that, it'll tell you all of them. And there's a few other ones too. But those are, the top five. And it'll tell you what each of them are if you look at them and know a little bit about them. Research your area. Be involved with your community. Don't we say that? Get involved. Be a community leader. Go in there. Get to know the other businesses. Summer camps. I did a summer camp this year. My instructors get very burnt out on camps. Because, you know, when they do camp, they also got to come back in the evening, right? How many did summer camps this year? How many did more than three of them a week long? How many did more than three a week long and 5 hours? Okay. We did 3 week long, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We made a little over 30,000. We didn't have our normal summer camp. We tried something different. We did the Steve Oliver philosophy. Before, we were charging $200 for the camp for the week. And, you know, we'd take them to the pool and we would do activities. We're almost at the end.
Okay.
Or summer camp.
Okay.
So, what I decided to do is we had a special, we called it promotional camp. We call it the rank advancement. Write that down. Rank advancement camp. Now, guess what they get in those 5 days? They have an opportunity. Now, they don't get their belt at the end. What do they have to do?
Go to graduation.
They have to pass the test and then go to graduation. Well, guess what happened at the graduation, the first graduation we had this summer? There was 30 kids who got double promotion. How is that possible? They knew their regular material that they had been working on for the 2 months, but then they had a special curriculum for the next cycle in their training, and they did that curriculum in those 5 days, 5 hours a day. You know what we call that? Anybody? Say it again.
Money in the bank? Is that what you said?
Accelerated.
No. How many, has anybody in here ever gone to summer school?
Yeah.
College, high school? Well, wait a minute. How can somebody in 1 week advance a whole belt level that normally takes 2 months? Isn't that a ripoff?
5 hours a day.
Well, wait a minute. Our normal cycle is 16 lessons. Twice a week, 8 weeks minimum. They have to have a minimum of 16 classes to be able to graduate in our normal cycle. Well, in summer school, I don't know, but last time I checked, a semester is 3 or 4 months in college, and you pay quite a bit for that semester. But if you go to summer school in 6 weeks, you can do a whole semester of work, and it costs the same as if you did it for the semester. Anybody check those prices lately? Right? Once you explain that, nobody has a problem with it.
But you're also doing the same number of hours, too.
We're doing more hours.
Yeah.
It's normally 16. How many are they getting in this one? 25. Bonus classes.
What are you charging?
$400.
A week?
For a week.
Okay.
If they did multiple weeks, you gave them a discount.
Next year, he's doing $597.
Yeah, we had too many. But we did 400. If they did two camps, it was 350 each. If they did all three camps, we did 300 each. Multi-families, two kids, same thing. Second one is 350. Third one, 300. So that was the lowest we went, though, was 300.
For a week.
1 week. Now, here's what somebody said to me. Parent. Wow, Master Smith, that's kind of high, isn't it, for a week? I said, well, yeah, if you were just coming for a play activity. I said, but think about it. That's a two-month cycle of classes. Tuition is normally, for a month, 200, 2 months, 400. So you're basically paying the same thing, but you're getting acceleration of it.
Fallacy.
What?
Fallacy. Most of the people who did it were leadership students.
Exactly.
So their leadership curriculum is $397 going to $497. So their tuition should
have been... No wonder. Now I know why I keep you around. So next year, our leadership students are going to have to pay more. And I'm going to tell them Master Oliver's orders.
No, if you just make it $597 or $697.
But everybody understand? Whatever your tuition is, just double it. Because that's 2 months. And you can charge that and have no problem doing it. Just make sure you sell it properly. And then when you make that extra $30,000 next summer, just send me a little thank you note. Okay. Just one of my $30,000.
Okay? Check.
Thank you. Tips are accepted.
See, the unstated thing you had in there is it's a hell of a lot better than doing 12 weeks of you're there all day. And the last.
And let me tell you, the instructors loved it.
Prime time.
Because they were teaching the real curriculum, just like normal. So it was much easier than trying to keep them entertained. Remember, it's 5 hours. They have a lunch break. We have games. So they basically, out of those 5 hours, they're getting about three and a half, 4 hours of actual curriculum. So you do like 2 hours, a break, 2 hours, break, you're ready to learn. Before school and after school. Now, notice that was different than the gym teacher for a day. We don't do that, but if you so desire and you want to get your little bus and pick them up and tootle them around and do that, I know a lot of schools that are making a lot of extra money. I'd rather get an extra renewal and upgrade than to mess with all that stuff. But I know there's some Master Oliver knows some very successful schools that do that. So if that's your niche.
Front row, the most successful school, martial arts school in the country.
And a lot of schools do that, and they make a lot of extra money. A lot of work. It's not an easy deal. You got to have some transportation and some people to drive them.
Mostly it's a completely separate business, and martial arts schools try to tag it on to the side, screw themselves up. That's completely separate business, completely separate staff, completely separate everything.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
That right there. You want to know how to
do that? That's real business.
Talk to the person. That I agree with. That's the way to do it. Mixing the two tends to water down your program, I think. Keeping it separate, there you go. Good idea. Thanks. Local merchants and pizza boxes and things like that. If you get your local merchants and your center together and you do one big flyer for all of you, or go to the newspaper, do one combined ad with all the merchants, you know how cheap that is? You get a full page in your local paper, that kind of ad, or if you do a flyer, they're nothing to print up. And that way you have your you're doing a little co-op there with your other businesses, which helps with your display racks, or if you want to put any of that in there with those other people. Also, the pizza boxes, they put your flyer, they tape your flyer on their box. And you just have your students do a little co-promotion with them, where you're promoting their business too. Sponsor local sports teams. Where did Don leave? Don told me that one. And I forgot about that because I hadn't done that since I was a kid. But, you know, the baseball teams or the soccer teams or whatever, you know, they get sponsored by and they got your name on the back. Some of the little league teams have those signs out on against the fence where you can put in there. So these are all community-sponsored type events. So don't forget to support your community in those type of events too. Your internal versus your external promotions. Don't get confused with those two. You need your internal promotions constantly going, buddy referrals and all those kind of things, and birthday parties, things that are happening in the school, those are your internal. Your external is when you go to the theaters and the fairs and the band signs and all that other stuff. So when you're planning out your marketing for the next quarter, and you should plan these quarterly, when you plan them out, what the activities that you're doing, so you have all your printed material done ahead of time, make sure you differentiate between your external and your internal, because you need to have an equal balance of those. Don't be all external and not internal, because the internal also has an effect on what? Everybody?
Retention.
And, more importantly, or effect of?
Upgrades.
How much should your upgrades be? How much of the total gross percentage of your gross should be from upgrades or renewals?
60 to 80.
I want everybody, when you get back, do a test on that, okay? You know how to do it.
You got that? Eric, you got that number?
Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
That's a million on the table.
Because and I'm going to tell you, happy problem, I've got 80% of my gross is coming from enrollment, say. I only got 20%. What does that tell me right there? Me, not you.
Opportunity.
Boy, there's a massive double, quadruple the gross. And just like that. Master Oliver's done it with many schools. Because if you have stats and we can look at that one figure, you know, some schools, they're already, everything is in line. Well, to jump your gross, we're going to have to get some of these stuff going. But some of you are so off base, but you're still doing a good job. You've still got a good number. It's just that your percentages aren't in there. Then there's a way to double that or triple that pretty quick. Does that make sense? Do these things help?
Yeah.
Anybody have a specific question on any one thing they got confused on? Yes.
I have a question about the summer camp, promotional camp. How does that work with a rotating curriculum? For instance, you're going to pick a block or something like that that you're going to teach.
Exactly. They have a special block.
But when you get to that block, what if they've already done that block once or twice? Now they just do it again for review and they don't have to test on it?
Doesn't matter. Okay. Doesn't matter. It's what block you have. Because remember, what is the purpose of a rotating curriculum? It takes 0 to 4 years to get your black belt. We want to make sure within that 4 years they've covered everything they need to cover. And what happens, it rotates. They will go over where they do it like a level 1, a level 2, a level 3, and a level 4. So what does that do? It just re-emphasizes their technique, right?
I've got an easier answer.
Yes.
If you have 6 blocks, just go to the last one and put it in. And by then, they're going to have skipped it anyway because they skipped a rank already.
So, I don't know if I'm following. You're the last.
Yes. Okay, let's make it simple. Let's say that we're on block 2 right now.
Right.
And I've got 6 blocks.
Yes, sir.
Teach that 6th block on the camp. And that way, since they've double promoted, they're going to move into the next level before you get there anyway. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Thank you.
But it doesn't matter what order you're teaching it.
Yeah.
Right.
Does that make sense? And then, guess where? You don't give them their belt. Where do you give them their belt? At your graduation. Because what are you doing at graduation? What are you trying to improve? You're trying to get more intros, because they're going to bring their buddies. You're trying to get more upgrades. And that, I think, is about it. Thank you.
You know, having a PA system is easier. You just pull the flower of power.
Everybody stand up for a second. Stretch. Stretch. Okay, sit down. Stop stretching. Now, let's transition here. The reason, if you must use the restroom, go ahead.
Okay.
If you must.
If you must.